Ezra brings us to the time in the history of the nation of Israel where the temple had been destroyed. And the children of Israel had now been in captivity for near 70 years. And after the Babylonian captivity, God allowed a remnant of his people to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild. And among those that went back was Ezra. And of course, you know about Nehemiah and how Nehemiah went back and he built the walls round about Jerusalem. The book of Nehemiah is after the book of Ezra, but the worship of God had to be reestablished first. And Ezra went back first, and he built the temple back, repaired the temple. He reinstituted the worship, the proper worship in the temple. And if we were to take time to study it out today, when Ezra went back to do this, it was a huge undertaking. They had a lot of things that they needed. Ezra, first of all, wasn't even there. And he had to travel from a foreign land to go back to Jerusalem to do this. And if we were to study some of these things out, he needed the protection of the king. And by the hand of God, he was able to have that. And he needed provisions for the temple, all these things. They'd been in a time of desolation. They'd been in a time of need. And they'd been in a land of captivity. And so he needed protection and he needed provision. And he needed people. As we read here in God's word, they didn't even have a priest. And you can't have the worship in the temple without a priest. They didn't have a son of Levi among them of all the people and all the things that they had. So there were a lot of things that Ezra needed. And in this verse of scripture, in verse number 18, what I wanted to point out was that God supplied everything that they needed. God even supplied the men that they needed to minister there in the temple. Verse 18 said, "And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought a man of understanding." And that phrase I want to look at most of all today is "by the good hand of our God upon us." And talk about the hand of God today. That's what I want to preach on. And I've been thinking about this past week, and actually for several weeks now, I've been thinking about God's hand in my life as well. I mean, here I see God's hand in Ezra's life, and I see God's hand in the people's life, and I see God's hand in the priest's life. You see how we could expand that this morning and show how God was working in everybody's life simultaneously, and that's how our God does. God is big enough this morning not just to work on my little problem that I might have, but God is able to work in my life and what I need, and God is able to work in your life and what you need, and God is able to work in all of our lives together at the same time and bring about a good end to whatever our need might be. But I've been thinking about God's hand in my life. As it's already been said, today's my birthday, and somebody asked how old I am. I'm 41 years old, and I don't feel very old at all. But today's another anniversary, you might say, as well, because 20 years ago, on my 21st birthday is when I surrendered to the gospel ministry. God had been working in my heart all summer long and up into the fall, and I'd been struggling with this thing and going back and forth and what some people might call running or making sure or whatever it was, but it was so close to my birthday, and I had a birthday coming up, and it was on a Wednesday night, and I thought, well, I'll just wait another week, and I'll surrender before the church on my 21st birthday. So that's what I did, and I remember that. And when you heard Brother Jason and Brother Bill surrender and stand up and tell the church, they did a far better job than I did, because I was so scared. And, you know, I had it in my mind what I was going to say, but I remember when I stood up on that Wednesday night and told the church the Lord had called me to preach, it come out something like blah, 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 blah. And I just couldn't even get the words to come out. I really felt like there was a physical presence was holding my mouth shut, and I really couldn't just barely get it out before the church. I was so tore up about it. But that's been 20 years ago that I surrendered to the gospel ministry, and I thank the Lord for it this morning. And to some of you, you might say, well, that's not a very long time. You know, if you're 90 or 80 or 60 or, you know, that'd just be a portion. But if you're 41, that's half your life. That's literally all of my adult life that I have spent in the gospel ministry. And I don't say that to my praise, but I say that to the praise and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about one of my favorite verses, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. And that's what all of us ought to try to do with our lives. Everything we do, we ought to try to do it for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I got to thinking about the hand of God. And you know, when I was studying about this, I wrote down the hand of God in your life. I was trying to think about a good title this morning. And I wrote down the hand of God in your life. And I thought, well, is that what I want to call it? And then I wrote, well, maybe I want to call it the hand of God in my life, because that's what it's about as well. And then I thought, well, the hand of God in our life. And you know what? This morning, any one of those will do, because as I've already said, when the hand of God is working in my life, you know what? He's working in somebody else's life. He's working in your life, whether you see it or whether you recognize it this morning. But I promise you, if you'll take a good hard look at your life and you'll examine it in sight of your blessings and in sight of your history and in remembrance of what God has done for you, you can see the hand of God in your life as well. So let me point out some things this morning about the hand of God in our lives. First of all, turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 37. We're going to turn to some different scriptures this morning. Psalms chapter number 37, and I've got to find it as well. You know, sometimes you go fishing and you use one thing. You know, you might use a worm, or you might use corn or something like that. Or if you're fly fishing, you might use a fly, but you'll use mainly one thing. And that's how I do most of the time. I'll preach out of one passage of scripture. But I have been fishing before where I had my tackle box and I tried a little bit of everything, just to see if it'd bite or if they'd bite. And that's sort of how a message like this is. We turn some different places and try a little bit of everything this morning. But Psalms chapter number 37, I want to point out first of all this morning, there's the hand of God in our steps. There's the hand of God in our steps. David said here in Psalms chapter 37 in verse 23, he said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Notice what it said there. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He said, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And there we find a little bit of testimony by King David. And we could say there that that's his life's testimony, because he's talking there in verse number 25 about being young and then being old. So he's down near the end of his days and he's thinking about his life and he's thinking about God's hand in his life. And he says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." He said, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." And so David is talking about from youth to old age, he's acknowledging God's hand in his life, and no doubt he took some time. And if we were to study out Psalms chapter number 37, he's thinking back in his life, and he took some time to reflect upon his life there. And no doubt he could remember growing up in Jesse's house, and that good godly influence of a godly father and a godly family. And he could remember learning to play the flute and learning to play upon the harp and learning music and how to sing and how to write songs. And he could think back and remember being out with his father's sheep and the time where he killed a lion and the time where he killed a bear. And he could remember growing up a little bit older and the time when he killed Goliath. And he could just remember all these times, all these steps in his life. And he could look back and he could remember how the hand of God had held him up in all of those things. And you know, David wasn't a perfect man. David did not live a perfect life. I think sometimes we get disheartened in our Christian walk because we don't walk a perfect walk. And we don't live perfect lives. But you know what? If you study and look in God's Word, what you will find is that there were many people in God's Word that did not live perfect lives. They didn't do everything exactly right in their lives. They had many ups. They had many downs. They had all kinds of failures. They had many mistakes. They had all kinds of regrets. They could all look back and say, I wish I'd done something else. But I like what David says here. When he was old, he says, I've been young and now am old. He looked back on the whole thing and he said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He remembered that he'd failed many times in his life. He had failed on his face and he had failed God. And there was times where he had failed his family and all of these things. But in all of it, he said, the hand of God held me up. The hand of God held me up. The hand of God made the difference. God, what he's saying there is in everything in my life I look back. And although some of it's not good, some of it's bad, he said, God's hand was there. I like what he said in verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I was thinking about this, and it just brings to mind this morning. I've had a whole lot going on the past few weeks, and I had to go to the bank and have a meeting with somebody, and I didn't know exactly who I was supposed to talk to or anything like that, but I went in and I walked through the door and the three people I needed to see was right there all together. And I said, praise God, that doesn't happen much. And I didn't call ahead. I thought about it, but I thought, oh, I'll just go on. And everything went good and all. And, you know, God's hand works in our lives. God orders our steps. God orders our ways. Now, we can go the way of the world and fret and fuss and all of these things, or we can just live our lives and say, God, you're my master, you're my keeper, you're my organizer, you're my advocate, you're everything, Lord, and I'm looking for you to just guide in my life. And you know what? He does. David could look back on his life and all of the things in his life, and he said, the hand of God holds him up. And we can look back on our lives. I was thinking this morning, I was thinking about my raising. Thank God for my raising. Now, not everybody would understand what I'm saying. That's probably something unique to the South. But you know what I'm talking about this morning when I say our raising. We're talking about how we were, not what was in our cereal. I'm talking about how we were raised up. I'm talking about how we were brought up. I realize not everybody has the exact same testimony this morning, but a whole lot of us, we can look back and we can say, you know what? Thank God I was brought up in church. Thank God I've heard the truth preached down through the years. Thank God for a mom and a dad or a grandmother and a grandfather. Thank God for godly influences in my life and all of these things. I mean, you think about that this morning. You talk about being in the minority. If you've got a godly or a goodly heritage this morning, you're in the minority, because most people don't. But thank God this morning, His hand was in your raising. His hand was in going to church, and His hand is in hearing them old songs over and over and over again. You can go the modern way and go the rock and roll route and the beat of the world route with you Christian music if you want to, but I'll tell you what, I'll just stick with them old songs, because them old songs will stick with you. They'll go with you no matter where you go in this life. You can go and get out of church. You can move out of these mountains. You can go somewhere else and be around other people. But I'll tell you what, it's hard to get away from your raising. And it's hard to get away from them prayers. And it's hard to get away from them songs. And it's hard to get away from that preaching there that's come out of this good word of God down through the years. If you've got that this morning, you look back and you say, thank God for His hand in my life, that He's ordered my steps down through the years. God knows what He's doing. There's times I look back in my life, there's times where I could have died. There's times where maybe I should have died. We all look back and we say, boy, that was a close call. That was scary. There's something happened in our life. And you look back at times when you failed Him and you said, oh, I wished I hadn't done that. But you know what? If you're a child of God, look what the Bible says. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. I like that. For the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. David had failed God miserably in his life, but he didn't fall all the way down. Every time David failed, God lift him back up. God would restore him. God would get him back where he needed to be. God knows in my life I've failed him so many times, but you know what? I look back over my life and God knew what he had in store for me. And all of the times I look back in my life, there's so many times you think about it in your life this morning. God knew what he wanted you to be. God knows where he wants you to be. God knows what he's doing in your life. Just let him do it. Let his hand work in your life. Psalm 73:23, the Bible said, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand." I like that. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. I like that. You know what? We've got a little one. Some of you don't have little ones in your house anymore, but I'll tell you, when you get around a little one, it reminds you of some things. We go places, and you know what? We always say, don't you let her get out of your sight. Whoever's going to be in charge of Chloe, you better watch her like a hawk. And whenever we go somewhere, we make sure somebody's holding her, somebody's got her hand. Why? Because we don't want anything bad to happen to her. When we went, a while back, we went on vacation, and I, she's running everywhere. And I thought, this is never going to do. This is going to cause me to lose all my, not have a good time. We got to make sure nothing happens to this youngin'. And so I taught her something. And I said, and when I do that, you grab my hand. And she caught on to that, and we go around. And it was a game to her. And any time she'd get down somewhere, I'd do that, and here she'd come with her hand out, and I'd grab her hand. It was a game to her. And I got to thinking, you know, that's how God is. God doesn't want anything to happen to his children. And whether we know it or not, whether we realize it's for our good, many, many times, I mean, if God has to, he'll hold our hand sometimes. He'll just pick us up. He will do what needs to be done in our lives to make sure what he wants. Make sure his hand is in our life. God's a good God. His hand, have you noticed or recognized lately his hand in our steps? His hand is in your life. His hand's in your life. He's working in your life, whether you realize it or not. Let's go on this morning. There's the hand of God not only in our steps, but there's the hand of God in our saving. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 1, I like what it says. Behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear weary that it cannot hear. And it goes on down and says some other things, but I like what that says. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Aren't you glad he can still save today? I'm glad God's still in the saving business. 1 Timothy 2:5 says that there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He may have wounded hands this morning, and he does. In fact, when he comes back the second time, he will be recognized by they will say, who is this? Where'd you get those wounds? And he'll say, I received them in the house of my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today in heaven, in his glorified body, still has those wounds in his hand and in his side. And his hands may be wounded, but I'm telling you today, they're not shortened that they cannot save. He's still the only one that can reach with one hand and reach heaven and reach with the other hand and reach down in the most horrible pit that there ever was. That's what David said in Psalms 42. He said, I was in a horrible pit, but he reached down and he set my feet upon a rock. His hands are not shortened that he cannot save. Now, maybe we're not seeing as many saved as we saw one time saved in this country, but we're still seeing people saved. God's still saving. God saved me. I see his hand. I look back. I see his hand in saving me. And I was thinking this morning, I'm glad for the why that he saved me. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, he saved me and he saved you this morning because he loves sinners. Why? Because he loves us. I don't understand that. I've read over there in the beginning of the book of Malachi where the Bible says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And somebody said one time, they said, I don't understand that, how the Bible says God hated Esau. And I'm like the old preacher said one time, well, I don't understand why God loved Jacob. Why would God love Jacob? Why would God love me? Boy, I'm unworthy. The Bible said God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Boy, I tell you this morning, I don't know why, but I do know that He does love sinners. And He loved you, and He loved me enough to reach down one day and convict you of your sin and save you and give you the gift of eternal life. John 10, 28 and 29 said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you're in His hand today, if you've been saved, you've been given the eternal life, and there's no way to get out of His hand. Some people say, well, you can lose your salvation. How are you going to get out of the hand of God? He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father's hand is greater than... you're in His hand this morning. I'm glad why He saved me. I'm glad where He saved me. He saved me in church. I'm glad when He saved me. He saved me when I was 9 years old. And I've thought many, many times about that. Boy, I'm glad God saved me when He saved me. Because I wonder sometimes if God hadn't have got me when I was young, if He'd have ever got me. Because you know what? The older you get, the harder you get. It's hard. It's not hard for God, but it's hard for people to turn to God the older that they get. Because the older they get, the better they think they are many times. And the more confused they get, and the more pride they get in their lives, many people get to the place where they are would be embarrassed to come and get saved. But for a little child, it's not hard. Boy, I'm glad He got me when I was young. I'm thankful for the hand of God in our saving this morning. I'm thankful for the hand of God in our successes. Look in Joshua chapter number 5. I want to read a few verses there. I was going to just try to quote them to you this morning or tell you about them, but I want you to turn to Joshua chapter number 5. I'm thankful for the hand of God in our successes. Oh, we don't always have success, but I'll tell you what, sometimes we do. And if we do, it's because of God. Somebody come to me a while back and they said, boy, I appreciate what you do. And I something along those lines. And I just have to reply, you know what? If there's any good thing comes out of me, it's not me. It's from God. It's God that does the good. It's God that gets the victory in our lives. The Bible said in Joshua chapter number 5, I love to read this passage of Scripture. The Bible said in verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Notice there, his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And in the Old Testament, when you see either the angel of the Lord, or you see like Joshua seen here, he saw a man who said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. And Joshua fell down and worshiped him. And this individual received the worship of Joshua. You know who that really was? That was the pre-incarnate. I'm talking about before he was born and came into this world. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua thought he was the captain. That's how we are sometimes. You think you're the captain, don't you? You think you're the boss. You think you know what's best and you know what you're going to do and all of these things. And you're going to go out here and do this and do that. You know what? You can't do anything without God. And boy, I tell you, the best thing that Joshua ever happened as the leader of God's people was to look out and see there's one greater than him come into the camp. And he went out there and said, "You for us or you against us?" That man with the sword drawn in his hand, he said, "I'm for you. In fact, I'm the captain. I didn't come to join up, I come to take over." Boy, it's a good day in your life when you've got battles going on and trials going on and you've got valleys in your life and you've got enemies in your life and you've got all these problems and all these trials going on and you don't know where to turn or who to turn to or you don't know where to look and you don't know what to do, to just realize there's one that's able to get the victory in your life. There's one that no matter what you're up against, he's got the victory. He's got the answer to the problem, no matter what it is. I like Psalms 98:1. It said, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." We sing that old song, "Victory in Jesus." That's the only way. That's the only one there is victory in this morning, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And anytime there's a victory in your life, anytime there's a success in your life, anytime in your life there's anything to praise about, it's all because him. I've found in my life many, many times where I was just up against it. And I didn't know what to do or where to turn or what the answer to the problem was. And you know what? Then the Lord would come by. And he comes by in many, many different ways. This happened back, I don't even know, it's been 6 or 8 months ago. And you know how it is with everybody. Everybody's suffering because of the economy and things of this nature. And Noah and I, we've spent 6 or 8 months sitting down there looking at each other, wondering what was going to do, and business falling off. You know, I'm not belly aching this morning. I'm trying to get the point to praise the Lord about the situation. But we were sitting down there, and we had somebody come in, and it is a Saturday morning, and we didn't do anything. And somebody came in right before closing time and went through and bought a whole bunch of knives. I mean, just a bunch of them, and it's a good sale, and we hadn't done anything. Seemed like we sold more at one time than we did all week long, and certainly that morning. And it's right at closing time, and the Holy Spirit of God just came by and spoke to my heart and said, "It'll be all right. It'll be all right." And it just tore me up. I wasn't sad about it. And it wasn't the fact of money or anything like that. That is so immaterial to everything that goes on in our lives. That's at the bottom of the list. But what blessed me out of it was God used that and the Holy Spirit come by and said, "Just don't worry about it. It's going to be all right." And Noah came by and he saw I was sort of touched by it. And he said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm all right." Because the captain came by and spoke to my heart and told me it's going to be all right. And I'm telling you this morning, no matter what you're up against in your life, if you look to the captain, if you look to the one that's able to defeat the enemies and the giants in our lives, I'm telling you this morning, if you look to him, it'll be all right. Because his hand is stronger than our hand. And we may not understand things sometimes, and we may not be able to figure everything out like we would like to sometimes, but I tell you, there's one greater than us. And God's in control of our lives. God is fully aware of all the trials and all the troubles and all the heartaches and all the pain and all the indecision and undecision and whatever you're going through in your life. God knows, and he's the one that's got the key to the victory. And if you'll turn it over to him, he'll get the victory and you'll praise him in the end. Sometimes it's hard when you're going through the trial to understand just what you're going through. But I tell you what, I can look back in my life at many, many battles and trials, and I look back at it and I say, you know what? That was God's hand. That was God's hand. He's the only one that can be praised over the victory in that situation, no matter what it was. There's the hand of God in our successes. Let me move on this morning. There's the hand of God in our sustenance. Psalms 104 verse 28 says that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Psalms 104 is a history of the children of Israel. And if you study the history of the children of Israel, what you'll find over and over and over again is that in their lives, in their journeys, in the wilderness, in the land, they found themselves so many times without. When they found themselves without, there's a loving God in heaven that come along, just open his hand up. And he could rain manna out of heaven. He could send quail out of the wilderness. He could send water out of the rock. I mean, whatever they needed, God was able. And he proved himself over and over and over again. I'll tell you what, we ought to be ashamed this morning when we wonder what God's doing. When we wonder how we're going to make it. Because he's proved himself so many times. He supplied for us over and over and over again. I look back in my life and I'll tell you, any time you doubt and worry and fret, you know what, this morning, it is a sin. Because my Bible says, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you know what? God's checking account never goes down. It's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he's able. And he supplied our needs so many times. I look back at the hand of God in my life, and I think about when Kim and I, you know, we'd been married a few years, and we were going to have a son, and she'd worked the whole time. And I mean, when we first started not poor, but we didn't have a whole lot. We didn't have very much at all. And I thank God today that we started out with 3 cardboard boxes. I'm going to preach a message on that sometime. But we got married, and I was in the Air Force, and of course had to go to England, and she came a few months after that, and the military was kind enough to ship our worldly goods from here to England. And when we got that shipment, boy, I tell you what, we were so excited about getting our stuff because we didn't have anything. And when we finally got the shipment from the United States, it was 3 big cardboard boxes, and that's how we started out. Thank God for small beginnings. Thank God for every time you've ever had to struggle in your life, because you know what? When you look back and you think to yourself, how did we ever get through that? Just God. God's hand. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. But we'd been married a few years and come back, and I was a preacher, and I didn't make a whole lot in my job at that time, and of course, never have made a whole lot, but anytime, you know, anyway, we was struggling, and we was going to have a son, and Kim had been working, and she made pretty good, and we come down to the decision point in our lives: was she going to go back to work, or was she going to stay home with our son, who turned out to be Noah? And I remember we made the decision, and she'd keep coming to me, she'd say, "What are we going to do?" I said, "You're going to quit." And she'd come back and she'd say, "What are we going to do?" I said, "You need to go in and tell him you ain't coming back. You're going to have a baby, and we're going to trust God, and you're going to stay home." I'm so thankful. I look back, and there wasn't no way to make it. But here we've made it, and he's about grown, and he's ate a whole lot of groceries and driving now. And I mean, God's good. God's good, and God's blessed us with children, and God's blessed us with a home and all of these things. And I will say this morning, you young people, as you begin to get older, you're going to come to a time where you're going to have to find a job and go out and look for a job. And I was telling Noah the other day, and I'll tell every young person in the church, I said, "Son, make up your mind now. You're not going to work on Sunday." And tell God about it, and tell God you don't want to work on Sunday, and you're not going to work on Sunday. Would he give you something where you wouldn't have to? And he will. He'll bless you. If you make up your mind, if you're determined, you're going to not work on Sunday. And I realize some people have to. I realize that. But you young people, when you're starting out, you get in your mind, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Just say, I'm going to put Him first. Because I've seen it happen a lot down through the years. Young people think they have to do this, and it's not, you'll get out of church, get in the habit of it. Now, if you're a doctor, Blue Ridge and things like that, you know, power poles down, stuff like that. You know, it's impossible not to get the ox out of the ditch sometimes. Dad used to drive a truck, and he'd talked with me about it before. You know, trucks got to move in our country in order to have groceries and all. I understand all those things, but I'm talking to you young people. When you start out, get the mindset that you're going to put God first, and He'll bless you. You'll just be amazed. You just make up your mind you're going to do right by Him, and you will see His hand in your life. There's the hand of God in our sustenance. He's able to take care of us and meet our needs. I'm thankful for that. And the last thing I want to point out this morning, go to Psalms chapter number 32. The book of Psalms chapter number 32. And I'm going to end on what you might think is a sour note. But I want to preach just a minute this morning on the subject of the hand of God in our stripes. I'm thankful for that this morning. There's the hand of God in our stripes. The Bible says that happy is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. You know what? If you're one of His children, He'll spank you sometime. He'll give you stripes sometime. And you ought to thank God for it. If you get under conviction about something in your life and something is bothering you, you ought to thank Him. You ought to praise Him every time He convicts you. Every time chastening comes in your life, because that is evidence that you are one of His. There's the hand of God in our stripes. Psalms chapter 32, there's only 11 verses. Let me read a few of them. Verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Look what he said in verse 3. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah, he said, think about that. If you study about this, I believe Psalms chapter number 32 was after David had committed that sin with Bathsheba. And what he's talking about here in his life was his spiritual drought that he went through. He had sinned, and he said in verse number 3, when I kept silence, he's talking about when I kept silence about my sin, when I didn't try to make things right. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He was condemned about it. He was convicted about it. Verse number 4, he said, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. What he's saying there, he was about to kill him. He said, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah, his tears dried up. His spirit dried up. If you ever got real dry and real cold and real far away from God, and you said in your life, you know, I don't know where God's gone. I don't know what's happened in my life. I don't feel Him. I go to church and somebody else gets a blessing. I don't understand what they're happy about. You ever been in that shape before? You're about to dry up on God. And you couldn't find any happiness. You couldn't find any relief in your life. You couldn't find anything to praise Him about. You're just about to die when you keep silence. That's what happens in your life. And that's what had happened in David's life. But you know what? Thank God. Verse number 4, God's hand was heavy upon him. That's conviction. And he said, Selah in verse number 4, that means, think about that. You ever get that way in your Christian life? Think about why you're there. Think about why you're going through that time. But the answer in verse number 5, after the heavy hand of God comes in our life, after chastisement in our life, after stripes in our life, look what happened in verse number 5. He said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Think about that. You ever been in that shape? You ever been in that shape where old pride is keeping you from the blessings of God? And you was dried up on God and you couldn't get anywhere or anything or any instruction from heaven. And you come along and acknowledged your sin and he opened the floodgates back up. You say, boy, I know what's wrong in my life. I know why I couldn't get anywhere. I know where I couldn't get any, why I couldn't get happiness and peace and joy and all these things. Verse 6 said, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Think about that, Selah. Think about what God does when we get right. When he loves us enough to chasten us. And we have enough sense, like the prodigal son, the Bible says he came to himself. Thank God for the day when you came to yourself and come to yourself and make things right with God. Verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide me with mine eye. David said, oh God, I've messed up. I don't know what to do now. And God said, don't worry about it. I've forgiven you. I'm going to bless you again. I'm going to teach you. And I'm going to guide you. Isn't that good? Verse 9, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. I'm glad we serve a God that can put the shout back. Once it's been gone, I've been the place where I didn't think I'd ever shout again. I remember many years ago, I'll tell you this and I'll be done. We went to a church, we was visiting, and they was having an Easter program. And we went in and it started and it's real good. I mean, the singing was good, the message was good, all of these things. And I was a young preacher at that time, hadn't been preaching too long. I don't even know if I was pastoring at the time. I might have been, but anyway, we sat back there and oh boy, it was so good. And God was just squeezing my heart, and I was sitting there arguing with God. I was almost had to put my hands to hold it in. And God said, why don't you just praise me? And I just remember that I was struggling. Well, if I raise my hand or if I shout or something like that, they'll just think I'm a fanatic or something like that. And I sit there and I robbed the church of a blessing of not being obedient in worship. And I remember after that, I got so dry. I went through a spell where I couldn't feel God. I couldn't pray. I couldn't cry. I couldn't shout, and I got to worrying about that and thinking about that, and every time I'd pray about it, God would say, you remember up there? You remember up there that night where I was stirring on your heart and I wanted you to shout, and you sat there and stubbed up on me, and that's all I could get. And I finally come down, I said, God, if you will touch me one more time, I'll be real sensitive. I will praise you whenever, wherever, whatever, it don't matter to me, God, but please, please, to dry up is the most horrible thing in the world for a child of God to know you're saved, but not know where God is, not know why He doesn't come by anymore, not know where that good fellowship is gone to. And I said, God, if you'll touch me again, I'll be real careful. Now, I don't remember exactly when it was the next time that God come by, but He's come by a whole lot of times since then. Boy, I praise Him every time. You say, that preacher's crazy. If shouting is unbiblical, you're going to have a hard time proving it by me. Because look what David said. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You know what? You can get your shout back. God's hand, God is so good that He will pressure you to the point of where you think you're going to die if it'll get your shout back. And if you ever get where you need to be, you'll get your shout back. I am thankful this morning for the hand of God in my stripes. In my stripes. In the time where His hand has been heavy upon me. And all of these things. And I thought of many, many. Oh, there's all kinds of things in the Bible about the hand of God. But I want to say this morning in closing, I'm thankful for the hand of God in my stripes.